right, 806 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Morning. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. Check in with Quint Hillier here in just a few. Also, staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. Update on our forecast. And one of the things we've been talking about this morning is yesterday's press conference with Mayor Stimson. Actually, he said it when he was on the show with us on Friday about this unified command. And it will have, you've got from the county level, Merceria Ludgood, county commissioner, as one part of it, one leg of the stool, Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson, another leg, and Dr. Bernard Eichold as the other. And they would make these decisions in unison and then put out the guidance or the rules surrounding what's happening in the county. And one thing we've compared to is this is per capita, because we realize the population difference between Mobile and Baldwin counties, but way more incidences of coronavirus and COVID-19, at least that have been tested and shown in Mobile County than Baldwin County, even though Mobile County has a lot more draconian measures when it comes to social distance enforcement than Baldwin County, even though by their choice, private businesses there are doing social distancing in Baldwin County, but they have a lot fewer cases.
Yeah, and no curfew in Baldwin County either.
Yeah.
And when you look at the number of total cases, 491 now in Mobile County, which is second most in the entire state behind Jefferson County, and 78 cases in Baldwin County per capita. I mean, cases per 100,000 people, Baldwin County now at 32 cases per 100,000 people, while Mobile County's number comes in at, let's see if I've got it here, 113 cases per 100,000 people.
So significant difference.
A huge difference, that's right. And then think of east of Baldwin County in Escambia County, Florida, how big their numbers have been. So
yeah, what's the difference there? And what's one of the things that I think in the presser yesterday, they're saying that because of these numbers of cases in Mobile County, they need to further crack down on the social distancing because people aren't behaving properly there. Remember, they reduced the stores from 100% capacity to 40%, then went to 20% where we're at now, and now they're saying possibly 10% and limiting it only to essential items. And they said frustration with the big box stores over the weekend. Listen, I've seen that riding by. Big hardware stores, box stores, and Walmarts and others with tons of people, you know, waiting to go in those places. And I guess that's the frustration. They said there's, you know, not enough social distancing, so they're thinking about clamping down even further.
Yeah, the things I've noticed, the differences in Walmarts and other grocery stores compared to the hardware stores. In the hardware stores, you've got huge aisles. Like, they seem to be, you know, much larger than your grocery store aisles and huge stores. It seems to me that people are able to more easily stay away from other people in these hardware stores. And in Walmart, there's been a couple cases where I've gone into Walmart and seen poor social distancing, to say the least. But that was a couple weeks ago. I know I went to a Walmart last week. I had to pick up some essential supplies, which we've discussed. Essential for one person might be different than what's essential for another. And it seemed to me like the Walmart I went into last week, they were doing a better job with social distancing.
And then you have the question, what's an essential item to be able to purchase? I know this texter says, this Todd says, I work at a large grocery store chain in maintenance and shop at both Lowe's and Home Depot. Everything in that store can be vital in keeping our 12 stores open. So how could they tell me what I can and can't buy? Yeah, that's part of the discussion here. Let's go to the phones and Captain Doug, check it in from Mobile. Hey, Captain Doug.
Hey, good morning, Sean. Dalton, how you guys doing here?
We're all right.
Look, I heard this thing on the news report last night about the mayor wanting to do this 10% stuff and deciding what is essential. Let me tell you something. I spent too long in the military defending my right to go out and do for somebody to come up and say, well, we're just not going to let you do that. Now, the city has codes that buildings and businesses must comply by. You have to live by them. I have to deal with them when I go to a store, and the store owner certainly has to deal with them. They have to pay big money in order for the privilege to pay taxes to the city and sell their trinkets and their wares. I would suggest that the mayor, before he comes and starts attacking the individual, and start deciding what is and is not an essential item to them, that he start going after the store managers and say, look, store, you're not helping us comply with this stuff like other stores. Examples are Greer's and Costco, the two stores I shop at most of the time, right?
Yeah.
They've got it right. You go after the store. You close that store, just like if he did not meet the building code for fire regulations or for structural regulation or plumbing or what have you. You close the store for 3 or 4 days. You let them suck up that individual or that money. And then go, hey, maybe we can step up and help the city enforce this, because some people just don't get it. We see that every day. It rains down here, and look at the traffic accidents. People just don't get it sometimes, and they need a little help. But sit there and tell me what is essential to me or essential to you isn't going to get it. That is not what this country's rights are all about.
Hey, Captain Doug, I appreciate your call. And your service. And I would say, too, that let's make sure that we know this unified command is Mercuria Ludgood, Mayor Stimson, and Dr. Bernard Eichold. And I would venture to guess that those recommendations on the distancing and all that are coming from the Mobile County Health Department, but working in concert with the administration of the mayor. I think, you know, probably that's where that's mm-hmm. coming from. But how far is too far? That's a question. And people are looking at balancing health concerns, you know, with if people can't do right. I mean, if people don't choose to do right for social distancing, what do you do? Do you just let it be whatever it is and don't worry about that? Or do you crack down and lock down? That's a question that was taken on by our buddy Quinn Hillier in a piece over at the Washington Examiner. In pandemic response, let's avoid both extremes. And he joins us now. Hey, Quinn.
Good morning, guys.
Morning. So you heard Captain Doug there, and I mean, people are upset this morning. Looking at the text line and the emails here, they're not real happy about this.
Well, they have a right not to be happy. We need what's known as a happy medium. And you have governors like Whitmer in Michigan who are going overboard and cracking down and telling stores that they need to rope off several aisles because those things are non-essential. You know what that does? It actually concentrates mm-hmm. people in the rest of the store the parts that are deemed essential. So you can have fewer people in the store at once, or the same number of people get closer than they otherwise would be. Sometimes these blanket solutions are not the right ones, and I'm not saying we shouldn't take this seriously. I was one of the first ones out of the box. I called John Barry, who wrote the book about the 1918 pandemic. He's a former, you know, I've written stuff with him before. And way back in early March, I went and I interviewed him, and he said that you know, that this thing was going to be god awful, and we needed to do a lot to fight it. So I'm not saying don't get serious. But I'm saying target your responses. Find ways to find that happy medium where you can allow people to have life as close to normal as possible in as many ways as possible while still restricting, you know, contact to within 6 feet and, you know, all the rest of the stuff that we're so familiar with. The more that you crack down in ways that start to get the kind of response you're seeing today, the more you are likely to start having civil unrest.
Yeah, it's one of the it's been a frustration of mine since I was a school kid to now. It's always been when laws or rules are imposed because a few knuckleheads don't know how to behave. It's always driven me, I mean, it's driven me crazy over the years. In places I worked where you had a fool or two who didn't do right, so everybody else had to suffer under. And that's kind of what we're seeing here, because some won't do right. Then they're saying, well, we got to impose these draconian measures. I guess there's no way to, you know, just get those fools out of the mix and let the rest of us conduct business.
Exactly, exactly. And for that matter, you know, I don't understand why you have to close all these other businesses. If you tell them that they have to maintain social distancing and all the rest, and you've got your curfews out and you've got all this news coverage, let people, you know, try to make a living if they can make a living. Let people go to stores that they consider to be essential, to have something that they need, just like your caller was just saying. But if anybody's caught either letting too many people in their store, you know, at one time, then shut them down. If people go in the store, even at the right numbers, but they get too close, give the store owner the absolute right to tell them that they must leave, on pain of arrest or something like that. But the more that you try to use a heavy hand, the worse it's going to be for all of us, especially because there are downstream consequences. To say that you're worried about health effects and life effects from shutting down the economy is to just tell the truth, because you do have people that, you know, they have depression problems,
mm-hmm.
they have financial problems that they can't deal with, they can't take care of their health, and so they have trouble with downstream effects. Find a happy medium and try to target your response.
Problem with happy medium is like middle of the road. That means you're going to get run over by somebody from both sides, right? I mean, I actually agree with you in a measured response, but you got to be ready and, you know, pray for the people that are in leadership positions right now, because they're damned if they do, damned if they don't, bigger than ever. Because if you go in the middle of the road, then you got both sides upset with you. If you go draconian one way, then you have the people that love that cheering you. If you go laissez-faire completely the other side, then those people cheer you, but you got all the other people against you. I mean, there's not going to be a way to make everybody happy on this.
Well, there's not, and I acknowledge that. And look, I'm one of these 80 to 85 percenters. I'm much more on the side of get strict. I'm much more on the side of take this seriously. You know, do what you have to do early on to stop the spread. I'm much more on that than I'm on the side of, say, people you might call deniers that say, oh, well, this isn't any worse than the flu. So my happy medium is actually 80-85% toward the strict draconian stuff. But even then, every time that I write something, I've either got the 15% that's higher than me slamming me, or the
right.
85% that's lower than me
yeah.
slamming me. Because, you know, everybody's at a different part, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't strive to find something that makes sense, rather than, I think, blanket solutions almost never make sense.
I agree with you there. I agree with you there. When they have that this is going to be the rule, and this is why one of the things that is now in discussion, what President Trump can do from an executive branch level to the governors. But I like the fact that this started off with the president saying there are some things that you need a federal response to. I do agree. There's some things that have it, and this has an interstate element to it. But within those states, I also see the power being with the governors, and maybe good or bad, depending on what state you're in. But I'm not bothered by that either.
Look, I am as much for federalism as anybody you'll ever talk to. And I wrote another column on that. This is why we have federalism. Because, you know what? If you try a one-size-fits-all for the whole country and you're wrong, you've messed up the whole country. If you allow different states within certain parameters to go their own way, you know, 3 weeks, a month, 6 weeks down the line, you can see what's working best where, and other states can then copy it. Whereas if you don't allow a little experimentation, you might overreact. And there's a book, you know, the first great pandemic novel, The Andromeda Strain by Michael Crichton.
Mm-hmm.
It warned against overreactions. I mean, basically, they were going to, in doing what they thought would stop the pathogen from getting out, turned out it would spread the pathogen in mutating form all over the planet. But they didn't realize that until there was like 4 minutes left. And then the guy had to go and try to stop it. And obviously, it's fiction, but Michael Crichton's stuff was based in science. And his point was right. If you think you're oh so smart and you impose a blanket rule on everybody, then if you're wrong, you've messed everybody up, sometimes to devastating consequences.
You know, Quinn, I am glad that it seems like governors are kind of making their own rules and not depending on the feds to make every decision. But as far as opening the country back up, when we closed the country down, that wasn't a blanket decision either by the president, by the administration.
Correct.
And we saw, you know, one state start to shut down, then another. But it seems to me that so many leaders in individual states, they want to make everyone happy, and they're also not original. They just copy what other states are doing. So even though there wasn't like a federal directive to shut everything down, what we've seen is most of the states, if not all of the states, have basically, you know, shut down everything except for essential businesses. And what might work in New York City is not going to be the same thing for what works in Iowa. I wish these governors who are now complaining that the president said what he said yesterday, I wish that some of them would try to, you know, step outside the box, maybe be a little bit more original and say, hey, we're going to try to go about it this way rather than shutting everything down.
Seven of them still have refused the total quarantine order, seven out of the 50. Including the Dakotas, and Kristi Noem, N-O-E-M, Republican governor of South or North Dakota. God, I should know that.
Anyway. I missed that. I'll take
South Dakota.
South Dakota, yeah. For 800.
One of the Dakotas. She used to be a congresswoman. She's now the governor. She's awesome. I've always thought she was awesome, and she's proving it again in handling this. She has gone the happy medium route. She has not done a blanket shutdown order. She's, you know, ordered social distancing and stuff like that. But she's refusing the shutdown, and she's doing several other creative things. And, I mean, granted, they don't have concentrated populations, but that's the point. Because they don't have concentrated populations, she doesn't have to do what everybody else is doing. And so far, her state has done pretty darn well. So, you know, I've been going crazy. If you watch CNN or MSNBC, and they are berating the governors that don't shut down everything. And I'm like, who the heck are you sitting in your New York studio to tell Kristi Noem in one of the Dakotas what to do?
No, it's a prime example of that, and it's a prime example of different parts of this country, and then you have a try to do a blanket order. Like you said, it does not apply correctly. Quinn, we got to wrap here. What about the trilogy? If people spend a little more time at home, they may be able to consume the trilogy pretty quickly.
Yeah, Mad Jones Heretic, Mad Jones Hero, and Mad Jones Agonistes. If you want some fun but thoughtful escapism, satire, sort of poking fun at politicians and the media, order it online, the Mad Jones books, otherwise known as the Accidental Prophet Trilogy.
All right, and also website?
Website, quinnhillier.com, or daily you can just go Google Quinn Hillier and Washington Examiner and see most of what I write. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you. I'll talk to you next week. All right, from the text line, Supermom says, we're going to get your calls and texts when we get back. She says, I live in Sims and work in Daphne. I see a difference in the social distancing between the two counties. Just running out on my lunch in Daphne. Mobile needs to tighten up, to quote Councilman Richardson, right? Tighten up. All right, coming right back. Hey, thank you, Kane. You know what I think is going to happen when we get on the other side of this? That there'll be a glut of N95 masks that have been built and ready to go. And then they'll all be on the market. But what we will do, I think the consumers will buy them all up to hold them for next time, so that glut will be eaten up. That's just an idea. Mm-hmm. An idea out there. All right. Look at the text line here, and we'll take your calls when we get back at 343-0106. Chester, it's like we're the same person hanging out together. He's talking about the hardware store. He said, the aisles are wider, but there's always some jerk that squeezes in right next to you at the bolt bin when you're counting out the washers, etc. Holy cow. Is that, and like reaching over and just standing like been there. I always need some strange washer or strange bolt. I can't get the normal stuff that's in the bigger things. I got to go where the slide drawers are, where all the expensive stuff is. I'm writing down 79 cents each. God. Dang.
Listen, just go get a wheelbarrow or maybe a push mower from the display and yes, put it right there beside you. Keep people away from you while you're looking through the bins.
You got to use it as a blocker?
Yeah.
This texture says, we're building a new hospital in Daphne. Traffic is back to normal. We don't have a choice about driving over 10 hours a day. The rest of the population appears to be enjoying their vacation. Ben says, you close down most small businesses and implement curfews and then complain about too many people being at a big box store. You can't have it both ways. Interesting, right? So people don't have somewhere to be. And they go find somewhere to be. Oh, I've seen that in action with some of my kinfolk. I've seen it in action. I won't call out their names specifically, but I might when I get back. All right, be right back. News is next.
FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. I want to talk with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you?
I'm doing great and even better because I'm online right now, McConnellAutomotive.com, an incredible website. If you're looking for a new or a pre-owned vehicle, tell the folks about the website.
That's right, McConnellAutomotive.com. Shop, click, and save, as Mitch always says. We got a great selection of used and new. Also, we got those certified, give you an extra 12-12 on the factory warranty. It brings up the powertrain up to 100,000. You know, don't forget about our service department. We've got a no-contact drop-off point, or we'll come get your car for you, give you oil change, and rock and roll there. We also do a little detail. We'll never talk about the detail shop, but we'll, you know, detail your car for you if you want to do that. And talk about Gary Turner and the body shop. They'll take care of you. I mean, we got the, like I said yesterday, the one-stop shop. So come see us at McConnell Automotive or give us a call at 251-476-4141.
Yeah, you know, with fewer cars out on the road, that means more people are looking at yours, so you got to get it clean.
That's right.
All right, we appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right, go through some of these texts right here. The text line for you at 343-0106, 343-0106. Better yet, our phone number, so we'd love to hear your voice. This texter says, Sean, people should be very upset. And this is from Shannon. He said, Sean, people should be very upset with the comment that the doctor from the health department said regarding that if we did not follow, we being the public, we would then lose the privilege to go shopping. That type of language will cause a total uproar within the community, rightfully so. I understand that. I do not condone and the public uproar, for the lack of a better term, but we still have rights that are provided to us by our Constitution. Start going after the stores that are not complying first and go from there. That's kind of what, Doug said. That's what Quinn said. I wish it worked that way more often. Like I said, it's been my frustration since I was like in second grade. When you ever had group punishment because somebody didn't,
the whole class has to stay late.
Right. Or and then working at businesses that you lose privileges at the business because there's like an employee or two that just can't do right.
Yep.
Instead of firing them or making some rule that everybody else has to comply with some new rule, you're like, why does this apply? I should have the liberty because I don't do it. It's Knucklehead over there that does it. But that's the kind of probably the situation we're talking about here. And by the way, too, you are being wow, Dalton. Great point you're making. I elect you for our governor. So you just got elected. You just got elected governor. Aussie girl has elected you governor of the state of Alabama. KIV, move over. Listen, Governor Orwig.
I can pardon turkeys with the best of them, but other than that, it would be a pure disaster. But I would like to pardon some turkeys.
Okay, maybe you could be like governor for a day and do that. You know, and what Ben was saying on that text too. If you close, listen to this. This is probably the best concise version of what's been bounced around by several people this morning. He said, you close down most small businesses and implement curfews and then complain about too many people being at a big box store. You can't have it both ways because there's only so many places to be and there's only so much time to be there.
Yeah.
Right?
Listen, I love the senior shopping hours. I think that is outstanding because, I honestly wouldn't complain if we had senior shopping hours all the time.
Hey, if there was an private, hour a day. If private businesses want to do that, I think it's great.
I do,
and you
too.
Should celebrate. There's a lot of things that private businesses can choose to do that I will defend and celebrate all day long, even though I may say it's not the job of government to impose that.
But when, and I know we got some, somebody told us that the reason that a lot of these stores had changed their hours even before the curfew, where you couldn't come in until, say, 9 a.m., mm-hmm. and they were closing up by 8 p.m., they said that was to give the crews there time to stock the shelves and make everything right. My problem with that is exactly what Ben's saying, the problem with the curfew. If everyone is only allowed to shop during a certain amount of time, that is just, there's no way around it. More people will be in the store at any given time than they would have been if you had more hours to shop. Like, I have a neighbor, right. I was talking to the other day, just had two twin babies. They just had, and I was talking to him about this whole situation. He said, I used to get out and shop at 5 a.m. on Saturdays. I would go out. No one was in the store, and I'd be able to make my way through, get whatever was new on the shelves, and be out of there by 5:30 or 6 a.m. And he's not alone. There are a lot of people that plan their shopping trips to avoid other people, even before this whole pandemic. So when you make it, and you think you're making it safer for everyone because the health department or somebody told you to do that, when you limit the number of stores you can go into and you limit the number of hours that you can shop, there are just going to be more people in there. There's no way around it.
That's well said. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy about this. Let's see. This texter says, is this from, it says, I believe in freedom and liberty, but we must be smart. So what if this happens? What if people just drive across the bay? Then you force Baldwin County into that situation, right? Hey, Bob says, Sean, talk about haircuts. I'm almost at a point of going online looking for a Flobee to have my wife cut my hair. Now, Bob, don't go before I can get one. I said this we can go back and check the podcast. What, 3 weeks ago or longer, maybe a month ago, I said the family that held on to their Flobee.
Yep.
I even put the 1980s tele-ad, the commercial, the long-form commercial about the Flobee, which is
spectacular.
If y'all want to travel back to the 80s like I did, go watch the Flobee commercial on YouTube. It is fantastic.
All the cool kids
outfits,
are doing it.
The outfits, the stuff that people say, the slang, it is so good. It was even Dalton watching it almost as a historical documentary piece. He was laughing too. So Bob, don't go buy the Flobee before I can get one. But yeah, the family that still has a Flobee, they laugh last. My hair's going to, by the end of this, like I said, I'm at Bob Ross meets Jerry Garcia mode right now, and I'm going on beyond that. Bozo the Clown is next.
I've got three options at this point, unless some...
You got rock and roll hair, though. You got long hair. I wish I had long hair.
Well, I can either keep letting it grow, and I will have, long hair, on my back in the next couple of months from now, which I've never been a fan of, or I can break out one of the bowls in the house. Put the bowl on my head and then do my best cutting around the bowl.
I had a moment the other day, and I was standing there with the beard clipper trimmer thing, and you can back it out to, I think, 4 or 5. I said, how will that look? Because my brothers used to get their haircut. I mean, I'm the youngest by far in the family, but my brothers who were older back in the day, they said Dad would sit them down and he'd get the clippers out, and that's how you got your hair cut. I'm probably close to that. I just know that I would miss spots in the back and stuff. It would look beyond ridiculous.
There's a long line of flat tops in my family.
Hey, I could go for that right now. I could go just get my hair cut. Sarah says, I think we should be able to carry yardsticks and poke people that get too close. I think that should be true all the time. Or she said, we can get those giant bubbles that you see in beach areas to walk on the water, and we could all be the boy in the bubble. Be kind of fun, except when it's hot. Matt says, I wonder what kind of actual data the mayor has on making new recommendations. Is it something that few people say over the weekend, or does he have actual documentation incidences that are obvious repeated offenses? I agree with Captain from earlier. Put away the shotgun and use the rifle. Don't punish everybody. That's Matt. And before y'all go overreacting, he means that approach. He doesn't mean actual firearm out there. I want to point out, too, that there is this unified command. So I want to make sure, it seems like, and I'm probably because he's the most familiar name of the three of them. Mayor Stimson's going to get more of the commentary here, but it is Mobile County Commissioner Mercuria Ludgood. It's Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson. And the other leg of this, where I think, and David says on the text line that they have to be unified in their decision so the mayor could disagree. But I have a feeling, I don't know this for a fact, but I have a feeling these kind of recommendations are coming from Dr. Bernard Eichold, who's head of the Mobile County Health Department.
Yeah, so. And I mean, not just locally, but you look across the entire world, really, but in America, look at the leaders and where they're taking their cues from this. Of course, we have to look into health and sciences to try to figure this virus out. And I don't blame them for making models initially to try to plot what this virus was going to look like. But the fact of it is that they were working on limited information when they began these models and still working on limited information. We don't know everything about this virus, and that's why we've seen such a big change in the models over time. And I love that we have these health services. They're able to look into things like this. But running a country or running a state or running a county or a city is totally different. There's a lot of things that go into that. And if you only take cues from scientists and from health people, then yeah, in a perfect world, we would all sit at home completely separate from each other, wait for this thing to die out completely in 17 days. But that's not the way the world works. So you got to balance, you know, the people who are specializing in financing and economics with the health side of the thing. And I think that's that good medium that Quinn was talking about. We got to be able to balance those things and make sure that we don't die because the economy died, as well as make sure we don't die because of coronavirus.
Coming right back, get your phone calls at 343-0106.
It was a slow day, and the sun was beating on the soldiers by the side of the road. There was a bright light, a shatter in the shop windows, the bomb in the baby carriage was wired to the radio. These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is the long distance call. The way the camera follows us in slow-mo. The way we look to a song. The way we look to a distant constellation that's dying in a corner of the sky. These are the days of miracle and wonder. And don't cry, baby, don't cry.
851 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings coming to the phones. But I do have to, this one hits close. That's still, this is somebody who knows me way too well. Chester says on the text line, back when I was complaining about, having rules, punishment out there for everybody, group punishment, when it's only certain people that screwed up. Said example, Coach Bob made the whole team run gassers because Sullivan kept jumping off sides.
You were that guy.
That would, not more than anybody else. I mean, yeah, you know, you're a down defensive lineman. It took a lot for me to be fast off the ball, yeah. So I needed any advantage I could get.
But you got to take Coach, risks.
Yes, he meant Coach Bob Rutledge, our football coach back in the day. Man, that's a trip to the past. And running, yeah, it was, and we ran until myself, or there are about three of us, but there are three of us that he would want to make hyperventilate. And until we hyperventilated, running was not done.
I need to run a few gassers.
Those were the old days. My goodness. Oh, my goodness. All right, to the phones. Thank you, Chester, for the trip back in time. Bruce is in Mobile. Up next. Hey, Bruce.
Good morning.
Morning.
I don't understand all the fuss about the face mask and the social distancing and so forth. We already got laws on the books that nobody complains about just to protect somebody else's bank account. And that's called automobile liability insurance law.
Okay.
Now, why is it such a problem to protect somebody else's life than it does not cause a problem to protect somebody else's bank account?
Okay. So you're saying, and if I'm following, because we've already set the benchmark of liability insurance and requirement, it shouldn't be a big jump to limiting people's enforcing social distancing.
I agree.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just trying to make sure I'm understanding. Okay. I think people are saying that you've got government stepping in here and stepping on rights, right? This is what we don't have a right to drive, even though it seems like it in the United States, and I feel that way. But there's no constitutional right to drive. They can take your driver's license away. They can shut a road down. They can do these things. But people will say, I don't have the right to go out and conduct commerce with somebody else. And now I'll turn around, Bruce, on your side and say, we've made it okay for governments to regulate buildings and food codes and all those things too. So. So you say, just are you staying at home? Are you doing the social distancing?
Unless I have to get out.
Now, how do you do when you have to get out? Do you do like try to do everything at one time kind of thing and then go back home, or just do little short trips? What do you do?
When I have to get out today, I'm going to the doctor's office to have some stitches taken out. And in the process of making the trip out to the doctor's office, I'm also going by the pick up prescriptions and to buy what few groceries we need to keep things going.
Then right back home.
Straight back home. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks,
and
Bruce.
God bless and appreciate what you do.
Hey, Bruce, I appreciate you too. Thank you. You be safe out there. TV cameras will... Okay, this is from Dale. TV cameras will show lines and suggest food shortages when, in fact, it's government policy causing the disruption. Although I will say this one, just for the sake of argument, Dale, and you know I like to do that, did see a story, I think two meat plants had enough people sick there that they shut them down.
Yeah, pretty big pork processing plant, right?
Yeah, and there was a, I think there were two different, and maybe they were on the same premise. I don't know the full story. If they were separate or they were like side by side, I don't know. But they shut those down. I don't know. It's been hard, I guess, for people to get meat out there. I've been dealing. By the way, I'm a dealer. actually, dealing. I don't sell any of it. I just share it with friends, and it's like the proudest moments in the world for country boys.
Yeah,
to provide meat or vegetables, or to provide somebody meat or something out of the garden that they need to eat, or pull somebody out of a ditch. Those are all big things for country boys.
I saw our buddy Philip online. He said, "Meat shortage. Give me a 270 in an hour.
Yeah.
And we'll fix that problem.
Yeah, we could solve that, and it's good. It feels good to share that. So we'll be all right on the meat side here in the South. Now, there may be other parts of the country that get messed up, but it won't be here.
A lot of them quit eating meat anyway.
That's true.
They went vegan on us.
Yeah. They say it, but then you could catch them. They like sneak. They sneak meat. They're back in a closet somewhere eating a hamburger crying. I do mine right in public. I'll stand in the front yard in my flip-flops and my dang ratty T-shirt and some pants and eat a hamburger. Hey, before we wrap up here, I want to give you a heads up, and this is serious, as people are dealing with real issues here on cash flow. You might be waiting for your stimulus money. You might be waiting for your small business to get its check. You may be trying to figure out how you make ends meet every month. Well, if you've got high-interest credit cards in your wallet, you got them showing up as invoices each month, why not pay them off with a credit card consolidation loan from the folks over at Lightstream? Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. They can quickly roll the balances from multiple credit cards into one single monthly loan payment, get a low fixed interest rate, and free up more money in your monthly budget. Say goodbye to credit card bills and take even more control over your money. Here's how they do it. Lightstream's credit card consolidation loans have rates starting as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. And there are absolutely no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. And you got to check that out versus what the interest rate you're paying on your credit cards is right now. Saw this note over at the website for Lightstream.com. It said, "I heard about Lightstream through a radio program advertisement." Yeah, that's one of these. "I'm so glad I had the courage to reach out and try the service. Top-notch customer support and service. Very streamlined process. No issues, no regrets. I'm happy to recommend the service to anyone." And y'all can apply today and get a special interest rate discount and save even more. Only way to get that discount is go to lightstream.com/Sullivan. Their website, lightstream.com/Sullivan, Sullivan. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, Mike Gallagher Show on next. We'll be back at noon today for Midday Mobile, and 1 o'clock today, it's our special series, What's Working, Special Edition with Cam Marson. That's at 1. We'll see you then.